that the Giants have been playing catch-up all night long. And the possible tying runs are on base now. There's a high drive to right. Is it fair? Down the line. It is a grand slam into the water. Can you believe it? And they all score, including the man who hit the ball. Incredibly, the Giants have come from 7-0 behind, and Yastrzemski has put them ahead.
Little Vandy connection working there last night in the Giants' 9-8 victory over the D-backs. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, Darren McFarland, Willie Donick and Chase McCabe with you. Final hour here on this Wednesday afternoon. And we are now joined by the catcher of the first-place San Francisco Giants. Kurt Casale is on the line with us. Of course, we always enjoy our chats with him. And
he had a good view of that shot last night. He was at first base.
Certainly did. And, Kurt, I said as we wrapped up the last hour, if you'd have told me before the season began to make a bet on you guys being in first in the middle of June, I'd have lost a lot of money because I would have not made that correct bet. And I would have been wrong. And so I'm glad I didn't make that bet. Congratulations. And by the way, you guys are playing right now. And how's this season been going? Thanks for joining us.
No, thanks for having me. It's good to talk to you guys again. I'm glad you didn't bet against us. That would have been pretty crappy for you. So I'm happy that your wallet is still full. The season's been going pretty good. Obviously, I mean, it's always fun to, you know, to be on a winning club and to be winning on at a pace that we're doing it at right now. It's been it's been kind of the time of my life right now. I mean, getting to play in a beautiful city like San Francisco and, and getting to be on the same team as one of my, best friends from college and Yaz playing in the big leagues, you don't get to do that very often. So I'm just enjoying every second of it.
You had the pinch hit walk last night. So you had the view from the base pads.
Loaded up the bases, set the table.
It was funny because I knew I was coming up for the pitcher. I can't remember exactly when, but I and Yaz was going to be behind me, and Yaz for whatever reason was like sitting in the stairwell, like kind of taking the place of like in the hole. So he literally thought he was in the hole, and he wasn't. He was like one behind me. So like I literally went to go on deck because it was my turn, and he started to walk out on deck, and I literally had to like grab him from behind and be like, not yet, dude, like not yet. And so I basically passed him and went on deck and somehow worked a walk. Like I can't believe the guy walked me to get to Yaz. It was just like that just like, come on, guy. Like,
well, the one strike that he threw wasn't even a strike, so it should have been a four pitch walk.
Just like, well, that's a different story for another time because that the umpiring has been interesting this year. it was incredible. It really was. I mean, I was very happy to get the walk. It just kind of felt like it was trending towards a big moment. I remember talking to on the bench earlier in the game. I think it was in the second inning, and we're down 7-0, and Buster Posey came over and sat next to me, and we kind of looked at each other, and I said to him, "Is like, man, like it's not going to be easy, but we're going to win this game. Like somehow we're going to come back and win this thing." And he looked at me and he was like, "I think you're right, man." And
wow.
It's just kind of funny how like believing in little things like that can turn the tide. And then, for me to get to be on first base to, see that moment happen for Mike was pretty spectacular. I mean, I've been dreaming about playing in front of, a crowd like that. And it still even wasn't a capacity crowd. But, jogging around the bases in front of him, I couldn't hear myself think. And it just, it was pretty special for me. And I can't imagine what it was like for him.
That ballpark is absolutely gorgeous.
It's
mind-blowing. As a baseball fan, I tell you what, the strangest thing for me was just the weather. I went there in a July day game mm-hmm. against the Cardinals, and we were there with another couple from Nashville. We had separate tickets, not far from each other, but we were in the sun, Kurt. This is in early July. They were several rows behind us, probably 10 to 12 rows behind us in the shade, and were freezing.
Yeah, it's nuts, right? It's just there's so many different microclimates around here, and you know, especially with like some of the golf courses around here, just like you just don't know what you're going to get. And oddly enough, I mean, I haven't been here that long, so I'm just going based on what I've heard. I think like September and October are the hottest months of the year here. Wow. Just like kind of wrap your head around that. Doesn't make any sense.
That is crazy. You brought up Buster Posey. You've been in the league for a while. You've played with a lot of special players. You've been around a lot of special players. You've seen, you know, tricks of the trade. But what have you learned being around a guy like Buster Posey?
Ooh, a lot. It's really fun. The way that guy goes about his business is really admirable. He works really, really hard. He's learned a lot. We've kind of bonded over the fact that we both have had hip surgeries. So we kind of like roll our eyes at each other every day, just like, because it just doesn't feel good all the time. I think the thing that I'm kind of remembering that Buster has reminded me is, like, winning is contagious. And, you know, I haven't really felt this type of vibe since my days at Vandy. And it's like winning, you practice winning in every aspect of the game. And it's the first time that there's been, like, some similarities between the big leagues and college. So that's been super fun. And, you know, Buster's a great guy to learn from. But, like, in terms of, like, hitting tricks and you know, calling a game, like we talk a lot. I mean, I'm just open ears at all hours of the day, and I'm very fortunate to have a locker right next to him as well. It's you know, not every day you get to play with a no doubt future Hall of Famer. Yep. and a catcher who has won every award you could possibly think to win. Yeah. It's pretty special.
Well, I know we're gonna get into the Vandy stuff here in just a moment, but I do want to ask you, because one of the things that we've always enjoyed about our conversations with you is we can hit you with so many subjects and you just give such great answers because you've got firsthand knowledge being in the game. You know, seeing the way hitters approach today's game, it's frustrating. I know that people say, you know, chicks dig the long ball and home runs are great, and that is awesome, but just to see basically home run or bust, and this has been going on for a good while, I get it, but to see, you know, how hitters approach today's game and how maybe you've had to change even in your career, maybe this is something you and Buster have talked about, is, you know, maybe you have to take a different approach because of that. How much has it affected what you have to do behind the plate, knowing today's mentality is, one, they don't give a crap about striking out, and that means they also don't give a crap about just putting it in play with two strikes. Has that changed for you over the years on how you have to call a game?
Like how I have to call a game, for sure. I think that we practice, we call it getting your A swing off. So if that makes sense, it's like you practice getting the absolute most out of every time you swing a bat. It should be with the maximum intent that you possibly can get, and that's not always how it's been in the past. You know, whether it's, you know, two strikes, you know, choking up, or, you know, widening out, like little old school things like that. And there's still some really good hitters who do that, but the way that it's kind of been coached to us and you know, basically laid out for us from a front office standpoint, is that they'd rather basically hedge their bets on us taking our best swing every time, and that the odds or the average amount of times that it works out is going to be more valuable than if you were to constantly keep tinkering your swing and trying to put the ball in play. So, like, does that make sense? I don't know if I'm describing that well enough, but so calling a game in that aspect it's almost easier in a sense because you know most of these guys are trying to get their best hack off, and almost all of them have a certain area where they get their best swing off. So it's I try to call pitches basically. You know, obviously, it's like who's on the mound definitely dictates how we do it, and if they have the ability to throw it there. But I like throwing a lot of stuff right around where their nitro zone is, and hopefully have it break out of the zone at the last second. So I want them to think that they're getting something good that they love and that they think they can really do some damage on, and then it just misses their barrel. But it's ever changing. It's an evolving skill, and fortunately, recently we've been really good at having success from the pitching side against really good offenses.
I still don't think I ever had a nitro zone, so you wouldn't have to worry too much about me up there. Kirk Casale is with us. He is a catcher for the San Francisco Giants in first place right now in the NL West. And he played on the very first Vanderbilt team that Tim Corbin took to Omaha back in 2011. Sonny Gray on the team, Mike Yastrzemski, you heard the grand slam he hit last night into the bay. Tony Kemp on that team, a lot of really, really good players. And if I remember, Kurt, it was a three-way tie, three super teams from the SEC, and they all made it to Omaha. And you guys lost in the final four to Florida, and then Florida loses to the other team in the final, South Carolina. But all three of you guys probably were good enough to win it. But take us back, just the first moment you realize you're going to Omaha and you're taking a team there, you're going with a team that's never been there before. That was pretty special.
Yeah. It's a feeling that I remember very well because, for me, we got to go for the first time my senior year. So basically it was 4 years of, exhausting work and a lot of fun, kind of coming to a point, and we had realized a lot of our goals in that very moment. So, it was a progression. I mean, it was my freshman year kind of having a disappointing regional against Arizona State. Then the next year started the Louisville rivalry where we, just missed the ticket to the Supers. The next year we went on a safety squeeze against Louisville to go play Florida State in the Super Regionals, which was huge learning experience. And, we almost made it then, and it just didn't seem like we were quite ready. But the next year when I was a senior and, that when we had a class of, 12, 13 guys drafted, it's like we kind of knew we were going. Like we knew what it took to get there, and we were going to do everything we possibly could. And, we got a national seed, got a super regional at home. And, I can remember, catching that final pitch from Will Kleinert in 2011 against Oregon State and just kind of losing it, just because it was just something that you dream of. Like, how many people get to go to the College World Series? Like, it just doesn't happen that often. And, to go, be one of the final eight teams to, get to play on ESPN and, open up the new ballpark in Omaha. It was a realization of a lot of hard work for myself, and getting to do it with, 30 of your best friends is something that you can't really ever replicate. There's a time in my life, I still remember it like it was yesterday. It was super cool. I'm so glad they're going back, and hope they get to defend the national title again this year.
You guys played in the very first game of the park that they play in now. They had made the change from Rosenblatt Stadium, and we talked to some people earlier in the week who had an experience there. But what, that first game, you're playing North Carolina, and it's a pretty scenic park, right? It's got that sort of circular feeling to it, and the whole town gets into it. Just tell us about the atmosphere there, because I think there's probably some people listening, they might be going out there for the first time to experience it.
Yeah. Well, for me, it was the first time playing in front of that many people. I think the capacity is somewhere around 24 to 30,000 people. And I remember Sonny was pitching, and I can't remember who was pitching for North Carolina, but it's like every year, it seems like the people from Omaha kind of pick their favorite team that they want to win and then just kind of ride them the whole time. And it felt like, because it was our first time out there, like the fans picked us. So there was a lot of support from us. And, I remember one of the coolest things about it. So like LSU always has like a really great fan, road fan, numbers. So like,
no question.
LSU didn't make the tournament, but I guess a lot of fans still go. And his name's Chris. I can't remember his last name, but he was, when we played LSU earlier, he's the guy leading the chants, go Tigers, like things like that. And literally Chris shows up in Omaha with a slew of LSU fans and they're rooting for us. They're making cheers for us, for Vanderbilt, because they wanted us to win. Like, just like little things like that don't get reported. And it's just like the fact that, so many people go there and make it special for, the players is the time of our life. They have parties in the hotel before we go, see us off parties before we get in the bus. And, it's really, really, it's special. And I'm really excited for those guys to get to experience it again and, hopefully play some entertaining baseball, but just enjoy it and just appreciate where they're at, because it just doesn't come around very often.
Of course, you stayed involved with the program. You're one of those guys that comes back, trains in the area before you go off to spring training. You have a brother that I think has been up close to as a manager with it. So what have you seen? What do you think is different? How has it evolved since the time you were there? As they, I think it's fair to say the expectation level is probably even a little higher than it was when you were there, even though the expectations were high then.
100%. And as it should be, when you reach the mountaintop and, you've won it all, it's hard to maintain that same level of care. And, there's a reason, that these teams keep going back and keep winning. And it's number four. He's one of the most special human beings I've ever met in my life. And without him, that ship doesn't go. He finds ways of adapting to whatever team he has at that particular moment. And, he just knows how to get the best out of his players and more importantly, he knows how to set everybody up for the next stage in their life, whether that's baseball or something else. And most of the time it's something else. And, he's the reason for all of it. He's the reason that, we have all these team bonding exercises, and he's the reason I know a lot of things about former teammates that I would never have known about before. And that's why, we can pick up the phone after 5 years of not talking and pick up like it was yesterday and just not even really skip a beat. But, he's an impressive guy. And he's created something that, he's got to be so proud of. And, hopefully the whole, community of Nashville is proud of him too, and gets to experience Omaha again, fully loaded again.
We're talking to Kirk Casale, catcher for the San Francisco Giants. And just building off of what you just said about Corbs, I think the part that impresses me the most is you've seen since he's been there in the early 2000s, just the evolution of not only the game, but the kid, that, how kids are brought up, how they're wired, that, it's different from even when you were there, and how he's been able to adapt and evolve with that and continue to put out such a great product.
Yeah, it really is. And I'm not going to sit here and be able to tell you everything about that the current team right now, because the schedule has not allowed me to see.
You're a little busy.
I'm a little busy. I'm very fortunate to still be playing, but you know, he's got whatever it is. You know, you talk about like can't miss prospects or, you know, things that you just know. Like, and when you sit down and talk to that guy, or you see him coach, and you see him talk with his, you know, players and their parents and things like that, it just he's the greatest. You know, he's the common denominator in all these great teams, but he definitely has an eye for who he recruits, and you know, he's got a certain type of player that he likes, and I think it's cool that it keeps evolving. I think it's awesome that, you know, he gets players from all throughout the country. It's not just a Nashville, you know, Tennessee thing, and you know, the way that, you know, our college is put together, he is able to put together unique scholarship packages for players that maybe wouldn't normally get a chance to go to a school like Vanderbilt. And, you know, it's just really, really cool to see. And, you know, I just see the joy in a lot of those guys' faces, you know, when they put on the black and gold, and I can remember what it felt like. And it's, you know, it makes me proud to see him still doing well today.
Kurt, we started this off talking about, you know, the hitters in today's game and in baseball, but a lot's been made lately about pitchers and, you know, foreign substances and trying to get that advantage. And advantage is always going to be something that everyone's going to try and get, but there's a line. And baseball has felt that a line has been crossed, and now, even though this is a rule that's been in place, they're cracking down on it. So what are your thoughts on that as a guy that works with pitchers on a daily basis with your position of baseball cracking down on this?
As a hitter, I'm really happy about it. I think it's been, you know, this is something that's been going on for a long time, but I think that, you know, over the past 2 to 3 years, pitchers have been able to kind of get their mix down to a science, if that makes sense. So like, they have numbers to back it up, you know, they'll load up with, you know, whatever substance they have, and then they'll measure it on, you know, a device like a Rapsodo or something like that. So they can actually see, you know, if they
what's
put
working
more on,
what's not, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like they get what is going to work, what is going to defy gravity in some ways. It's been really tough to hit. I mean, take it from me personally. Like, it's, you know, when the balls are doing things that, you know, are kind of physically impossible, that's when, you know, we've got a problem. When, you know, the averages are at an all-time low, or I think I'm sure strikeouts are way up again, and the average velocity, I'm sure, is way up too. But I guarantee you, mark my words, Monday, when this all comes to a halt and they start checking, you'll see the average RPMs probably come down by, you know, 150 to 200, and you will see the average velocity come down by probably a full mile an hour. And it's just purely because that they're going to have to, you can't put everything into each throw, because you have to grip it a little bit harder. You have to, you know, the thing with this spider tack and these substances is you can grip the ball so loosely that you can create even more whip and even more extension with your hand, that last second flick of the hand down to create more backspin on the baseball. You can't do that if you have to grip it harder because you don't have stick to grip it with. So our pitchers are going to have to dial it back, and they're going to have to remember what it was like to pitch. And, you know, a lot of guys are not happy about it because it's going to be hard. I think that, and I wish they did it in the off season, so, you know, there's not a risk of pitchers getting hurt, or, you know, whatever Glasnow was saying yesterday. That might be true, honestly, but it's going to be. I can't wait personally, because I'm just so tired of seeing it. Just it's just so hard. Hitting is hard enough as it is, but when you're throwing, you know, pitches that, you know, defy gravity, it's tough. But you know, I actually think that our pitching staff is set up really, really well for this change. We really don't have guys to do it. And that's the God's honest truth. There's a lot of teams out there. You're going to see some interesting stuff over the next month, I can promise you.
We're all privately hoping it's not the teams that we're rooting for. right?
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, like, let's crack down on this problem. Wait a minute. What about my team?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, for any Giants fans out there, I can tell you that there's not a lot of that going on our team, so we should be pretty set up.
Kurt, before we let you go, on Fridays we do a segment called You Just Made the List, and when you're mad at somebody, you can put them on the list. And I wanted to give you the opportunity, if you wanted to put one Willie Donick on the list for not leaving tickets for you at will call like he was supposed to for a Preds game one time, you have that opportunity if you'd like to do that now.
I think I was on the list, at least for the first period of that game.
All right, sure. All right, sure. I'll put Willie on the list for this time. But you know, it's a short list because Willie, you've hooked me up with more things than I can count, and the relationships that you've helped me build with some of the even the Preds players and you know the people of that front office. I mean, I'm a huge hockey nerd, as you guys know. But I'll put you on just because they forced me to, Willie. But you can come off in like 5 minutes.
It was funny though. I left him some tickets, and you know, I was like, okay, they'll be at will call, and then in the second period. It just dawned on me. I never left the tickets. This is back when you actually still had the paper tickets. I never put them at the window, and I all of a sudden I frantically am texting Kurt. I'm thinking he's at Rippey's or something. You know, not in the arena. And he's like, oh no, I talked my way in. I told him what was supposed to happen. Nobody ever texted me or anything to say, hey, we got this guy named Kurt here. He says he left tickets. Kurt figured it out by himself, but I was worried that I just ruined my relationship with Kurt. And I was like, did you get in? He's like, oh, yeah, I'm watching the game. I'm here. But the
I'm
tickets
good,
were not available.
Your name still carries a lot of weight in Bridgestone. So even though you forgot the tickets, I name dropped you, and it worked anyways. So
okay.
In a roundabout way, you got me in anyways. So I appreciate it.
Nice. All right.
Good stuff as always. Kurt, thanks for doing this. We always enjoy talking to you. Keep up the success in San Francisco, and we'll check in later down the road.
All right, sounds good, guys. Take care. Thank you.
All right, that is Kurt Casale, San Francisco Giants catcher. And, yeah, they are in first place in that division that spent a whole lot of money. By the way, they beat Arizona last night. Arizona's lost, I think I saw it right, 21 straight road games. I think that's right.
Yeah, Arizona, the Diamondbacks, not very good.
They're on the struggle bus. Same thing with Colorado.
Very good. We'll be back. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next, but I think somebody's got a word about something. I think, Chase, you're going to talk about some bets. Is that right?
I am going to talk about some bets. BetMGM, I've told you about them quite a bit, but you can bet on more than the final score with the one-game parlay at BetMGM. So listen up. One-game parlay is an exciting feature designed to help you make the selections within a single game from over 400 bet types, including team and player props. Log into your BetMGM account and create the parlay of your dreams before the game starts. One game parlay is the fast and easy way to make your same game win total and prop picks. If you're new to BetMGM, sign up today and make your first bet risk-free up to $600. All you have to do is use the bonus code 1025GAME. You can make one game parlay bets on the Stanley Cup playoffs, baseball, and your favorite soccer leagues. Go ahead and take your favorite player to score, the home team to cover, and the over and goals. Log in today or download the BetMGM app to try one game parlay. New customer offer, paid in free bets. You must be 21 years or older. Must be in Tennessee. Visit BetMGM.com for a full list of terms and conditions. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.